What up? Back again for another great episode of the FTN Fantasy Show. And of course, I'm here with my co-pilot, my partner in crime, Mr. Matt Okada. How we doing today, brother?
We are doing swell, Laquan. It is 1 month down, which means like 3+ months ago. Again, right. We talked about this, I feel like, a couple weeks ago. I don't know how it's going by this fast, but here we are.
Here we are, week five, man, and this is the episode we're trying to figure out who is healthy enough to play, because, boy, I want to get right into the meat and potatoes, man. We are dealing with a lot of wide receiver ones going down very early in the season. We got some folks that are underperforming, and I think the fantasy streets need some help, because, look, man, the studs are down. The fantasy managers are in distress. So I want to ask you, is there any fixes to this? Like, I don't want to get into the trade bag, okay? Because you don't know everybody else's league mates. And I tell that for everybody that hits us up. Like, listen, you know your league mates better than I do. So I don't know what gets this trade done. I could tell you the values and ranges, but that just goes dipping off into another conversation. So now we are stuck with the waiver wire. Like, we have Terry McLaurin, who's banged up now. Hopefully he returns back. We got Jaden Daniels back, Okada, so that is great. But CeeDee Lamb down for another couple weeks. Then you got Tyreek Hill and Malik Nabers. That is done. Done for the season. Like, they are not returning. And then you have the underperformers of the A.J. Browns, the Jamar Chases, and the Brian Thomas Jr. Okada, can you please let the fantasy streets know, what is the fix off the waiver wire?
Oh, boy. Well, there realistically isn't one right now. This past week was a good week for running backs on waiver wires. It's like they're, you know, playing games with us, and they're like,
it was like,
you
know, tight end for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then running backs had a wave, and then wide receivers, we're still waiting on for that big pop to kind of help us.
We are. And I will point out, this isn't super helpful to, our listeners right now, but it is something to note down in your notebook for drafts, fantasy drafts next year. They're a long way away, but this is why zero RB can sometimes work and zero wide receiver never does. And going super, super early running back, and then trying to pick up wide receivers later is not as an effective strategy, because on the waiver wire, it's a lot harder to find these wide receivers who step up into big, big roles and are good enough to fill the gaps left by Tyreek Hills, Malik Nabers, massively underperforming superstars. So if Wandale Robinson somehow out there, he might be the closest thing. Elik Iomanner is, like, he has the theoretical opportunity to be this, but Cam Ward and the Titans offense have to take a huge step forward for that to happen. And in fairness, they tried this past week. They were like, let's try a different play caller. Maybe that will help. Nope. They scored 0 points.
I'm going to keep it a buck. We're kind of
sweet. That was crazy. Probably the best quote I've ever heard in my life.
I've never heard a quarterback say that ever on the podium. That was awesome.
So good. you've got guys like Romeo Doubs that show up, and everyone was like, ooh, this guy scored 3 touchdowns. Maybe we can add him. No, you can't. You cannot add Romeo Doubs. He's not going to do this again. He was playing the Cowboys, and he randomly scores touchdowns every once in a while, but he's not reliable. Maybe the closest thing to a shot in the dark right now is Darius Slayton. And it's like a 15%, maybe 10 to 15% chance that it hits. However, if it hits, it could hit pretty well, because there is a new quarterback. There is a big opportunity for targets. And Darius Slayton, theoretically, will be the downfield guy for New York, in my opinion, whereas Wandale will fill up more of the short and intermediate stuff that Malik Nabers had. So if Jackson Dart has a rapport with Darius Slayton and is a good passing quarterback, and so he takes some solid steps forward and this New York Giants offense starts working, and Darius Slayton is getting the targets, you can see why it's only 10 to 15% because there's so many ands. Then maybe Darius Slayton is one of these guys. But realistically, right now, Laquan, there isn't anyone on the waiver wires to help us here. You either have to make a trade or you have to push through with the guys you've got.
Oh, man. And honestly, nail on the head. That's the one guy that I had in my head that I can think that could be a long-term fix. And I think you taking the angle of with the new quarterback, which brings a plus for Darius Slayton, because this is a fresh start for this Giants offense, essentially, even with Cam Scadaboo now taking the front runners as that backfield. I think this is a new Giants team that we need to evaluate as the weeks go on. But Darius Slayton, man, he's had a couple of 100-yard games under his belt in recent times. He is a deep threat. We've seen him make plenty of big plays while wearing a Giants jersey. I mean, I don't think he's going to ever go anywhere else. I think he's going to retire a Giant. I mean, he's stepping up to the plate now, essentially, as the wide receiver one. There's not many wide receivers on the waiver wire that has wide receiver one upside like a Darius Slayton. So good call, Okada, because some folks are really down bad. Like, I am looking at some teams in my league like, wow, you managed to lose Malik Nabers and Tyreek Hill in a matter of a week. Like, your roster is done. Like, it's over. Like, you don't have anybody to back up, which is unfortunate, but we're not gonna sit here and turn the knife for our listeners who are actually dealing with some of these situations. But I do want to bring up another name to you, and before we go to break, I want to talk about the Dolphins. Now, Jalen Waddle obviously gets a bump, right? But is there any interest in Malik Washington? Because we did see him kind of show up the first 2 weeks, but kind of phased out, you know, the last couple of weeks.
There is interest in super desperate situations. Like, if you need a third wide receiver during a bye week, sure, go ahead and try Malik Washington in the right matchups. But he is not the type of receiver to step up and be a 8-target-a-game fill in, quote unquote, Tyreek Hill's shoes kind of guy. And I will say this when it comes to filling in these guys' shoes for the injured ones. Usually when number ones like this go down, it is more common that you'll see a bump in targets for everybody, a small bump in targets for everybody, and particularly running backs that are like pass catching running backs and decent pass catching tight ends, rather than seeing some third or fourth string depth charter step up and get 8 targets a game. Because, like, there's a reason those guys weren't doing that already on a team somewhere. Because they're just not good enough to do that. I'm sorry, Malik Washington. You're fine. You're good for gadgety stuff now and then, but you're not going to be an 8-target guy and be good with that volume. So it's more likely that Devon Achane gets a lot of extra targets. Darren Waller is suddenly sneaky good rest of season, which is crazy that that is happening.
We'll get to him later in the show, boy.
Yeah. And then these guys like Malik get an extra target or two a game, and it's like, okay.
I'm just like really, really like standoffish when it comes to the Dolphins outside of Achane, to be honest, because obviously we know this bump is going to be huge for him. I mean, top five is just in the stars for him at this point. If he's going to be able to get this type of volume out of the backfield as a running back on top of him leading the charge out of that backfield. I only brung up Malik Washington because, man, there has to be another passing option in that offense. But we'll touch on the Dolphins later in the show. But let's take a quick break and we'll be right back for more of the FTN Fantasy Show talking game previews. Notable games, folks. We're not covering all the games. That'll be insane. We'll be here for about 2 hours just rambling on about the games, but we'll be right back. And we are back. We're gonna kick things across the pond, Matt Okada. And listen, I mean, before the pod, we were saying, man, you got to get up bright and early for this game, man, this weekend on Sunday. So set those lineups. But Okada, man, Vikings Browns, man, are you really excited about this game? Like, is there anything that you're like really focusing on in this game?
I'm kind of interested to watch Dylan Gabriel just to see, but I wouldn't say excited.
It seems like that's where you want to start on the Brown side of the ball. I mean, I can mime my way to that question. I mean, shout out to Shador Sanders for that one. But with Dylan Gabriel getting the first start, man, like, is there any like Browns pass catchers that, you know, the folks should be looking out for, or maybe get a rebirth? I don't know. I'm just very standoffish about the Browns pass catchers as well. I mean, like, what should we do?
I feel the same way. Let's be very clear and honest. Nobody was really very good with Joe Flacco. Okay. No. It was a mess, an absolute disaster.
Chaos.
Cedric Tillman wasn't very good. He's now on IR, by the way. Jerry Jeudy wasn't very good. He's the wide receiver one on this team. Still wasn't very good. Now you've got some hype coming down the pipeline for Isaiah Bond. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is exactly the type of quarterback you want for fantasy, because he might not win his team games, but he will at least throw the ball to his receivers. Dylan Gabriel, the reason they're bringing him in is because Joe Flacco doesn't win games. He's makes bad choices and is way out of his prime.
He doesn't care anymore, man.
Exactly. They're hoping Dylan Gabriel can provide a spark, and maybe he does to their win column, but he's not going to provide a spark to your pass catchers. If anything, I think this gets worse. Literally the only hope would be that Dylan Gabriel has some kind of very special camp-based rookie-to-rookie connection or something like that with a Harold Fannin or an Isaiah Bond. Yeah. And he randomly wants to target that guy a gazillion times instead of throwing the ball to Jerry Jeudy. And the Cedric Tillman injury opens the door for that. That's the only hope you have. But I'm not relying on that. I'm not running to the waiver wires to get Isaiah Bond. I'm not trading for Jerry Jeudy. And I'm not doing anything with Dylan Gabriel.
Listen, I think folks need to just have Isaiah Bond on the watch list. He is not worth picking up this week. I don't think he is in the works of being like one of the top waiver wire priorities. Like, I do think along the line, he may pop. I do like that each week he has gotten more opportunities, the routes, the snaps, even the targets have increased. So he is still developing, because we got to remember, he's fresh off the street. He didn't have camp. Okay. So I do feel like with Dylan Gabriel now going in, like my expectations are a little bit lower if it could even get any lower than it was for the Browns pass catchers. And like Joe Flacco, like I do think after this season, he's going to put his phone on do not disturb. Like, let's leave Joe alone. Like, it really just seems like he does not care to play football anymore. Like, sure, you want me to go out there and throw the ball around and not win games? Sure, he'll sign up if the check still clears. But I think after this season, Joe Flacco is probably going to hang it out, man. He can't save the Browns. I don't think there's a quarterback that could really save them.
Incidentally, first of all, go get Jameis Winston, Cleveland. You might not win games, but at least it'll be fun and you can sell tickets. Second of all, what should happen is the Browns should trade Joe Flacco to the Ravens so that he can play when Lamar Jackson is out and then retire as a Raven. That's what should happen.
Look at you. Look at you writing the script. Hey, if that's in the script, man, that would be amazing to see, man. Joe Flacco back in Baltimore. Wow. That'd be awesome. Him and Lamar reunite. That'd be pretty dope. Man, let's get in the other side of the ball, man. More fantasy relevant, man. This one I am in a pickle. Jordan Mason. Are we rolling him out against the Browns this week? Because we know they are a stout defense. Stout, man. These are the matchups that scare me to death. These are the matchups that can lose your week. Are we rolling out Jordan Mason, Okada?
Not if you can help it. I write a fades and busts article every week, and Jordan Mason is the top running back in that article. As was David Montgomery last week in this same matchup.
Ooh, yeah.
And if you didn't pay attention, David Montgomery was a terrible against the
Browns. Guess how many points he had, Okada?
I want to say it was 1.2 and a half PPR.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was 1 point.
So, yeah. They are allowing negative 0.1 yards before contact per carry, Laquan. Negative yards before contact.
Listen to that. That means they are the trenches are swarming. There's no lanes. There's no gaps.
Busting through these lines so horrifically that on average, players aren't making it back to the line of scrimmage before they're getting contacted. And they have the lowest explosive run rate allowed in the entire league. Jahmyr Gibbs had a great game against them because Jahmyr Gibbs is a transcendent talent. Yeah. He can make anything happen anywhere. But all the other starters who have played against them have been awful. Chase Brown managed to score a touchdown that saved his day. That was a miracle. Otherwise, Josh Jacobs was bad. Derrick Henry was terrible. David Montgomery was terrible. You are not rolling out anyone against this team if you can help it, unless they're Jahmyr Gibbs. The only question is, like, who do you have that you can start over Jordan Mason? Because Bucky obviously he's stronger than your RB2s. No Bucky Irving. If you had like a Rashad White and Bucky Irving's out, or you had a Woody Marks against the Ravens, I'm literally considering guys like that over Jordan Mason this week. That's how bad it is.
That is great advice. Folks, did you hear that? Woody Marks. He needs to be in starting lineups if You have him obviously off the waiver wire. I'm not playing a wait and see game. Like, he's going into starting lineups this week against Baltimore. Very juicy, juicy matchup. All right, let's get into another game that I think is interesting. This is Broncos Eagles, man. This game just feels like it's a type of game that's going to come down to the nitty gritty. Like, it's going to come down to a field goal because these are two good defenses, two offenses that can put up points as well. Now, last week we saw RJ Harvey get the boost of opportunities. This could be a potential person you put in starting lineups over a Jordan Mason against the Browns. But could he be a bye week filler this week, man? Can he step up to the plate? Can we trust Sean Payton? So many questions.
Could he be? Yes. He had obviously a really great game last week. 14 carries, 4 catches, 40 yards and a touchdown through the air. However, before we get too excited about RJ Harvey, which I know you and I are both very tempted to do.
I'm holding my excitement right now, by the way.
Let's look at the context. Yes. Broncos were shellacking the horrible, horrible Bengals. The game ended up being 28-3. Shout out the Patriots. It was a barn burner of a blowout. And J.K. Dobbins still had more carries with 16. Still ran the ball much better. He had 101 yards, averaged 6.3 per carry. So he is still the clear RB1, in my opinion. Although RJ Harvey is a nice change of pacer. We're getting closer to, and this is going to sound really good, we're getting closer to the Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara situation that we were hoping for with Sean Payton. However, I don't think we're there yet. And in a game that I do not expect the Broncos to be blowing out their opponent and against a very good defense in the Eagles, I am nowhere near as excited to play RJ Harvey. He could be a flex by week fill-in kind of guy because that opportunity was good and we believe in his talent. But I'm not excited about it, and I would try to avoid it for one or two more weeks until we see that the Broncos and Sean Payton are committed to this idea of RJ Harvey being the Kamara, and that he's getting, you know, productive weeks out of that role.
If we get 2 weeks in a row of RJ Harvey balling, man, I'm going to lose my mind. Okada, I don't know where you stay at, but you will hear me scream to the top of the mountain. It is RJ Harvey season. Let's go, man. But now we got to go to the dark side. And the Eagles, I guess you can call them dark side, but I'm saying dark side as in the Dark Knight and Batman and AJ Brown. What are we doing, man? Are we lining him up? Are we putting him in starting lineups? Do we have a choice, really, when he's going to be seeing a lot of Patrick Surtain?
Remember that article I mentioned where I had Jordan Mason as a bust this week?
Oh, who? Also AJ Brown was number two?
AJ Brown is the top wide receiver. Listen.
Wow.
There is a very strong battle in this game between, or in this particular decision, between narrative street, and between stats and matchups and tape. The narrative says AJ Brown is being the squeaky wheel again. In the past, in Philly, when he's been the squeaky wheel, he's gotten that squeaky wheel game where he has a ton of targets and blows up and is really, really good. However, on the other side, we have the stats and the facts. The stats and the facts say AJ Brown has not been good. He has not been getting open. He has been getting the targets, by the way. For anyone who hasn't really looked into this too hard, this is kind of weird because AJ Brown has been getting significant targets and just has not been good with them. The last three games, 8 targets, not 10 targets, 9 targets. In the middle game, which was against the Rams, he was really good. In the other two games, he was terrible. He caught 5 for 27 with 8 targets in week 2. And in week 3, he caught 2 for 7 on 9 targets. So it's like, I mean, you can say that they need to throw you the ball more, but they're throwing you the ball and you're just not making plays. Is that Jalen Hurts being awful all of a sudden? I don't necessarily think so. Is that AJ Brown not getting open, which is something that Fantasy Points data said earlier this year was the case? Maybe that is what's happening. So I'm a little suspect of AJ Brown's whole complaint campaign here.
Complaint campaign.
plus, he is facing Patrick Surtain, probably on at least half of his routes this game, maybe more if they shadow him with Surtain, which would be smart. When Surtain is on you, you either don't get targets or you don't catch many of those targets or you don't get many yards on those targets. That's just how it works. So if you want to buy in the narrative street and say A.J. Brown's going to have that blow-up game because he posted on social media that he's whiny, go for it. But if you want to trust the numbers, if you want to trust the numbers, I would try to sit A.J. Brown. Obviously, it's going to be tough to do because of where you drafted him. But I think there are guys that like maybe just came up off the off your bench because they were out. Guys like Xavier Worthy, Jordan Addison, maybe Jalen Waddle. Now with the step up with Tyreek Hill out, these are guys Olave. I would legitimately consider them over AJ Brown this week, given the matchup. And I'm not going to trust the squeaky wheel narrative until I see it.
Here's the thing. Folks, you don't need to be strapped to the big names. I ain't scared. I'm here to win, right? I'm here to win my weeks. I sat Jamar Chase last week for Chris Olave. I sat Jamar Chase in another league for Elik Iomanner. Now, Elik Iomanner scored less than one fantasy point than Jamar Chase. So it was really same, same. One scored 6 points. The other scored 7. 6-7. I don't know if you've seen that meme.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. My sister put that on me, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, but it's
6-7. All right. Now, I want to transition to another game where we actually saw life. We mentioned the Chris Olave, so Jalen Waddle's coming off the bench and helping us. And when you have to sit a big name, I would say Stephon Diggs is kind of a big name, but he finally showed us life last week, man. Should this be trusted? It's Bills Patriots, man. How are you feeling about this game with Stephon Diggs?
I'm interested. I'm definitely intrigued. I wouldn't say that I can trust him yet because we have seen, like we saw Kayshon Booty have a blow up game early in the year. And then he's kind of faded and not done much since.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that it might be that way off and on throughout the year with all these guys. I am concerned about that. However, I do believe there is a hope that Stephon Diggs having, you know, obviously he was coming off the ACL. He probably needed some time to ramp up a little bit. Usually these players take a good amount of time to get to full strength after coming off an ACL, sometimes a whole year. If it needed to be a month for Stephon Diggs to work up to where he was getting a 100-yard game, I think that could be very realistic. And I would be very excited about him if that were the case, because Drake May has been really good.
Give him his flowers, Okada.
He leads the NFL in completion percentage. I think he's thrown 7 touchdowns to 2 picks. He's running really well. He has been honestly phenomenal, especially given how bad his receiving core is. He's been doing this mostly with Hunter Henry, some flashes of Kayshon Booty, some flashes of DeMario Douglas, and then this one game from Stephon Diggs. So because I believe in Drake May, I want to find his wide receiver one, and I want New England to find his wide receiver one and stick with that guy. And it would make sense for Stephon Diggs to be that guy. So I would be willing to start Stephon Diggs this week. Would I start him over AJ Brown?
Yes. I ain't scared. I'm gonna do it. I ain't scared, Okada. We doing it. I will be the guinea pig again for week 5. I will be starting Stephon Diggs over AJ Brown. Let's run it up.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Laquan. Let's do it.
Let's go. It's going to be fun. It's not going to be stressful.
True. And here's the thing. I believe in Drake May in this game big time. I write a bold prediction article for the NFL, for NFL.com every week. And my bold prediction this week, spoiler alert, because it's not even published yet. Maybe it will be by the time this podcast drops. But it is that Drake May is going to have a massive game with 303 through the air to upset the Bills. That's my bold prediction. If that happens, Stephon Diggs is going to have a good game. And they're going to be throwing the ball because obviously they're going to have to keep up with Buffalo. So I'm with you, Laquan. Together, we shall start Stephon Diggs over AJ Brown. I'm going to go check if I can actually do that exact thing in a league anywhere, because I know I have some AJ Brown. Our listeners, do it. Like,
do it.
This is the place we're at.
This is called standing on business.
Correct. When you are a month into the season, this is where you can start making these decisions that sound crazy. When you're 2 weeks in, you can't do this because it's AJ Brown. You drafted him in the third round. You can't do this. But when you're a month into the season and AJ Brown has had one good game and Stephon Diggs has had a more recent good game and AJ Brown has a horrible matchup and Stephon Diggs has a good one, this is when we can start making these moves. So let's do it and trust in Drake May.
Lock it in, folks. I am here to say I am proudly going to be starting Stephon Diggs. It seems like Okada is on the same boat. But, folks, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back for more game previews. Man, we got the Bucks and Seahawks coming up next, man. I cannot wait to get into this game. And we are back for more game previews, folks. Please make sure you guys are liking and subscribing to the pod. And hey, shout us out on the timeline, man. Even on Instagram, we out here in the streets, man, trying to feed the fantasy streets the best info out there at FTN Fantasy. But let's get into the Bucks and Seahawks. This game means a lot to me, Okada, because we just talked about waiver wire guys that can fix the wide receiver position. But now we have a running back down. With Bucky Irvin dealing with injuries and very doubtful for this matchup against the Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks front, I don't think they're anything to play with. It ain't nothing light. But if you were picking up a Rashad White or even a Sean Tucker, is this the game that they could be reliable in your starting lineups this week?
I thought you were going to say this game meant a lot to you because you really need the Bucks to win so that the Rams can take the hold of the NFC West.
Listen, I ain't got no smoke for the Seahawks, man. It's more of a respect thing. Like, I don't have a problem with them.
Fair.
I hate the 49ers.
I know.
They're the little brothers of the division. Like, when we play the game, like, their controller's unplugged. Like, that's just how we look at the Cardinals. But the Seahawks, they can win this game. I'd like a friendly competition.
Okay. All right. Respect. Can you play Rashad White or Sean Tucker? Yes, you can play Rashad White. I do not think you can play Sean Tucker. First of all,
interesting.
The Seahawks defense is really good. Like, yes. I don't know if our listeners or the NFL fandom in general is really on board yet with how good the Seahawks defense is, because it's kind of surprising that they're this good. Yeah. They are scary good. So I am not excited about running out anybody against them, even Rashad White, who in any decent matchup, taking over as the starter for Bucky Irving with how well Rashad White has played and with what he does as a pass catcher, I would be really excited about Rashad White. I am not in this game. I am willing to start him because I think he'll be the lead back and get the pass catching work when Baker Mayfield is running for his life. However, I think he's like a low-end RB2 at best. It's maybe flexible. Okay. Tucker, I am not throwing into any lineup, and this is why. We all remember, or some of us may remember, Sean Tucker's one game last year. He had 14 carries. He blew up. I think he scored two or three touchdowns and had like 190 yards or something. And that is what is seared into our mind about Sean Tucker is that.
And he did all that on the waiver wire, folks. Like, let's remember where he was.
because he wasn't the lead back going into that game. Somebody got hurt. It might have been White, in fact.
No, it was Bucky. And I think it was what? Oh, no, it was White. It was White. Yes.
Both were hurt. I think it was the same thing as this. Bucky went into the game hurt, and then White got hurt, and Sean Tucker got all the work. I believe that's what happened. Regardless, Tucker only had that game because he was the only back left. We have seen stretches where he has been the guy behind someone else like White, and he has not done anything. So in this matchup that I really don't even want to play White in excitedly, I'm not playing the RB2 in Sean Tucker. I think Rashad White will get the vast majority of work here, which makes him startable in a tough matchup. But Tucker to the bench, I'm not even like, I think Sean Tucker has been a hot waiver ad. I'm not even that excited about adding him because I don't think Bucky Irving is out for a while.
Like, folks, I do think Bucky is going to be, you know, touch and go. It might be a week-to-week thing. I don't think I'm putting Sean Tucker on the priority list for my waiver wire. Like, I don't even know how much fab they even spent on the Sean Tucker because, again, once Bucky comes back, he's back on the bench for a long period of time. And I do think folks get caught up in recency, like, seared in our minds, he had that blow up game, but folks, he did that on people's waiver wire. It wasn't even on people's benches. Like, he wasn't rostered, and that's for a reason. So I don't want folks to just get caught in the cyclone of what you're seeing on the timelines, people hyping up Sean Tucker and Okada. Gotta be honest, I seen hype for Sean Tucker last night. I'm like, What are we doing? This is the Seahawks. So what are we thinking? This matchup is not even great for Rashad White. So even me having Rashad White rostered in some leagues, as he has 50% roster ship right now. So some folks have had him stash on draft day. I have no interest of putting him in my flex or even anywhere near our RB spot. So folks, I think you pivot to better options who have safer floors, higher ceilings. Let's not get cute this week just because, you know, you want to throw a running back into your starting lineup. We don't bully folks into our starting lineups unless they are Quinshon Judkins. But this transfers to Cooper Kupp. I got to ask you, man, I don't want to be the bitter ex, so I'm not going to chime in on Cooper Kupp, but I'm going to ask you this. Is Cooper Kupp even rosterable at this point? Like, what has he done? Is he there? Is he alive?
I'm going to need a refresher at some point on why you hate Cooper Kupp so much. I feel like
I don't hate. Everybody thinks I hate this man. I don't hate him. I just hate the decisions. He could have said no to the Seahawks. I know it was a pretty penny, and he's going.
But the Rams pushed him out of L.A.
Bro,
well, where was he supposed to go? All right. Anyways.
Retired. That's an option.
He's rosterable almost as like a handcuff wide receiver, kind of, because if something happened to Jackson Smith and Jigba, Cooper Kupp would probably have a really, really big role, because I don't think Torrey Horton would be getting 8 targets a game. But he's certainly not startable, and he's very droppable for any number of waiver wire guys that we would consider higher priority. Like, I'd much rather have Wandale Robinson than Cooper Kupp at this point.
That is a take. I'm clipping that. You're clipping.
Is that crazy?
Wow. Yes, a little bit. A little bit. And I say this because of the quarterback change. I think Wandale Robinson was a thing because of Russell Wilson. I don't see Wandale Robinson being a thing because Jackson Dart has the mobility. I would take Darius Slayton right now as a put the Band-Aid on from a cut wound, because it's like Cooper Kupp has literally done nothing these last couple of weeks. Like, it's a month of football, and we haven't said his name once in a start and sit article. We don't even consider putting him in articles as a sit because he has not done anything. Like, I think to this point right now, if I have him on my 12-team roster and I'm looking at a Darius Slayton and I'm looking at a Wandale Robinson, I'm even looking at, I don't know, what Elik Ayomanor. It's one of those situations where it's like, I need somebody that's going to show life and be able to produce that at least has some type of upside. Cooper Kupp to me just seems like he's going through the motions there, people. Like, it sucks to see such a great player go to the opposition. Again, I respect the Seahawks. I respect their fans, but they are still the oppositions. They are the rivals of the division. And I'm curious to see when we play in November, I want to see his performance and what he puts out there and displays when he comes back home to the LA Rams. Go ahead.
Incidentally, by the way, Rashad White needs to be rostered in every single league, even though we're not necessarily excited about starting him this week. Yeah. In a normal matchup, he would be a borderline RB1 with Bucky Irving out. And he's also even worth rostering when Bucky Irving is back, because he's used in the offense when Bucky Irving is there, and he holds this very lucrative handcuff value. So make sure Rashad White is rostered. Also, one more thing before we move on, Laquan. I just remembered, we totally forgot to touch on it. Stephon Diggs is playing in a revenge game.
Oh, how do we miss the obvious revenge game?
I don't know. And it's one of those real revenge games, too. Like, I think he's going to really want to stick it to the Bills. So get him in those lineups.
We're starting Stephon Diggs over AJ Brown, folks. Let's go. Yeah. Let's get to our next game, man. Dolphins, Panthers. Tetero McMillan suffers from Bryce Young struggles, man. Honestly, the question here to me is like, do we keep putting him in starting lineups? Do we keep swapping guys in and out? Because I do feel like it's hard to pinpoint when he's going to have that good game, because there are some opportunities that he has that are higher than most wide receivers, but they're not accumulating to anything valuable for fantasy for him to be hitting at least a high-end wide receiver two mark, you know? Like, what are we doing with Tetero McMillan? How are you feeling this week?
He's flexible. I would say he's a flex, a decent flex. Yeah. He's been very... The nice thing about him so far is he's kind of just been very consistently okay. Like, 5 for 68, 6 for 100. That was nice. 3 for 48, not so great, but still got the yards. 4 for 62. So he's been very much in that same sort of range, 8 to 10 targets every single week. It's a little bit like the Elik Ihlmanner situation, but a little bit better, which is he's getting a lot of great usage, a lot of air yards, but the quarterback play is just keeping him down. Yeah. But Tet McMillan is the version 2.0 of that. If you're getting an Elik Ihlmanner into any lineups, you should be getting Tet McMillan into those lineups easily above him. I would say he's like a low-end wide receiver 3 with bye weeks approaching and arriving, really. I think he's going to be in starting lineups more often than not for the next month or two. Because with all we talked about all the wide receiver crap at the start of the show, all your stars are
you have
hurting.
No choice.
Exactly. Folks, we're down. There's not much on the waiver wire to fill it in. But buys are coming. So the good wide receivers we do have are going to be out.
Yeah.
Tet McMillan's going to be he should be in lineups 80% of the time in any normal size league, I would say. But we're still waiting for that really, really exciting breakout.
I like the matchup against the Dolphins, man. And I do think that if Bryce Young can't produce against the Dolphins defense, he's not going to be able to produce at all at any point this season. Because, like, there's games where you watch him, it's like, okay, we're getting rhythm, and then it's like stall. No points. And it's like, God, man, you got to feel for Tetero McMillan and all the folks out there who drafted him, because you know when you drafted him, you didn't draft him as your one, but he should be at least on the wide receiver 2 level with this type of vibe. But we're just getting like wide receiver flex borderline territory. But we need to go to the other side. I mean, my man dropped 2 touchdowns before he dropped his mixtape. I was wrong. Darren Waller, how are we feeling, man? Is this actually a thing?
Well, he caught 2 touchdowns on Monday night before I could take a breath. So
yeah, I was like, wait, again?
Yeah.
What?
It really depends on how you define thing here, because there are not a lot of good tight ends. After the top 5 or 6, it's a massive tier of doo-doo that extends like 15 tight ends long. Darren Waller is absolutely in that tier already, because he's the guy who can catch 2 touchdowns. Not many tight ends can do that. And obviously, we know he has previously been a massive target hog stud tight end 1. Now, that was many, many years ago. He's taken years off since then and tried to be a rapper very poorly. I think the odds that he becomes what he was back in the day, where he's getting 7 or 8 targets and is all of a sudden an elite tight end 1, are very, 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 very low. However, the odds that he sees 4, 5, maybe 6 targets in a given week and has a good chance of scoring a touchdown relative to most other tight ends, because keep in mind, this Dolphins team has never, ever under Mike McDaniel been good down there in the red zone trying to throw touchdown passes, because they've never had the big body guy. They're all about speed, but they don't have any finishers. Darren Waller is a big guy who could be a solid finisher. It's why in his very first game back from his rap career, he scored 2 touchdowns for this offense, because they need that. They have a bunch of small, quick guys, including their running back, and they need finishers. So I think Darren Waller could easily score 8 touchdowns this year. And you can't say that about many tight ends. And if he gets 5, 6 targets along with that, because Tyreek Hill is gone and all you've got is Jaylen Waddle, yeah, he's going to be a frequently startable, probably tight end 1. So if that's how you're defining thing, I think Darren Waller is a thing. Just don't expect like top 5.
Listen, this guy's already top 5 in touchdowns among tight ends, man. I got to get him. I have to drop Jake Tongas, and it feels good that I can drop Jake, okay? Because I understand he has tied most touchdowns on the 49ers right now, which, again, Darren Waller as the replacement, same, all right? My expectations are still there, because your boy's dealing with George Kittle, where we don't even really have a timeline on his return. I'm not sure if this is a thing where they're going to revisit the injury to see where he's at, or he's going to be good. He's going to be healthy, but banking on a 49ers player staying healthy, good luck.
Just really super speed round, because I think this is important for fantasy managers. Tight ends you would drop for Darren Waller. I will name a name. You tell me drop,
please,
or keep him.
Yes.
Love Harold Fannin.
Keep.
I would keep. David Njoku, same team.
Drop. Drop.
I would drop. Brenton Strange.
Keep.
I would keep. Isaiah Likely.
Drop. Drop.
I agree with Mark Andrews playing better. Chigakonkwo.
Drop.
Drop. And then Jonnu Smith. Drop.
Drop.
Evan Engram.
Drop.
He started getting targets last week. Okay.
He sucks.
So I think that's a range. Yeah. It's like, once you got inside the top 12, you're basically dropping a lot of guys for Darren Waller, and he might outplay those top 12 guys, and I think more names might get added to that list moving forward.
Just situationally, I think he outplays them because, like, I think they need that red zone target if they do end up getting to scoring opportunities, because we know this offense peppers their running backs with targets in the red zone as well. And that's just Kyle Shanahan way, the Shanahan way, you know. And I do think Darren Waller now, this will be the last time you'll be able to get him. Like, I don't think there will be a next week or a week after that, especially with bye weeks kicking in. Tight ends are also dropping. And I do think right now you're kind of just scratching, you know, clawing, trying to get your way to get a tight end that could put up 10 fantasy points. And unfortunately, I think the rapper or extra rapper, he didn't retire. I do think he's going to drop another album. I got to be honest. Like, I'm probably going to listen to it because, man, oh, man, they got the beam on me. It's kind of catchy. It's kind of catchy.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
Okada, let's get into some Thursday Night Football. You know me as a Rams fan, right? I'm obviously going to be going for my guys. But I'm curious what you got as a Thursday Night prediction. Because, folks, we're recording this on Thursday, but you're not going to hear this until Friday morning. So we like to make predictions just to have a little fun and kind of react as if we know what's going to happen. So Rams 49ers, what is your bold prediction? Give me one. Your bold prediction out of this game that is going to help fantasy managers or hurt fantasy managers.
Laquan, I just pulled up the data on the single game scrimmage touch record in NFL history. LaDainian Tomlinson and a guy named James Wilder are tied at number one with 48 touches, which
in
is
a game.
Insane.
In a single game.
In a single game.
Wow.
Here's the only issue. Here's the only issue with that record. It's not going to be standing after last night. Christian McCaffrey, 49 touches? Huh? If he makes it through this game healthy, Laquan, I'm going to need something from you, like wearing a 49ers McCaffrey jersey.
Oh, hell no.
Something.
I ain't agreeing to that.
My man, whatever is in the water in the bay, apparently has not gotten into CMC's system yet. But it feels really dangerous that it's going to happen soon because everyone else in San Francisco is hurt. It is insane what is going on there. Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, all out for Thursday night. This is crazy. I don't know what they're doing. They need to fire their entire medical staff. Regardless.
It's an organization thing. I said this in 2020, Okada. This has to be an organization thing. And this thing goes all the way back to 2017 with the running backs, how everybody just kept getting hurt. And then it expanded to their wide receivers, expanded to defense. Like, dude, this has to be a strength and conditioning situation. This is an organizational problem. Like, they need 30 for 30.
Yeah, it was the same sort of thing with the Chargers a little while ago. And then we heard that their doctor punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Tried to kill T-Rod.
And it's like, what is wrong with them? If that makes sense, it's like, what is going on here? Regardless, Christian McCaffrey with his 49 touch game, unbelievable performance, probably scored 50 fantasy points, RB1 on the season and for the rest of the season, unless he gets hurt because of this dang Baywater.
Oh my God. That's one heck of a prediction, man. If he gets 49 touches in a single game against us, that means he's having a good night. I know. And it's like, I don't want to see him go off on us, but it just, the stars are aligning for him to be the guy to only have the valuable touches of this team. So it's not that crazy, folks. I don't even know if this is bold. This might just be a fact. Like, yeah, the 49, yes. He's going to break it tonight or last night, I should say. True. Oh my God, Okada, this has been amazing, man. This has been fun. I like when we do predictions because, man, we've been awfully wrong, but it's fun to think, like, iron out the situation. Like, who else is going to touch the damn ball?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have one?
Oh my God,
for this game,
I don't want to be biased, so I'm not going to say any bold predictions for the Rams. I'm going to go Mac Jones. I do think Mac Jones is a serviceable quarterback. I would not be surprised if Mac Jones put up 320-plus passing yards on this secondary. And I'm very truthful and honest. So I'm going to be rooting for Mac Jones in a sense where I do think, you know, I'm a fan of him. I don't think he got a fair shake in New England. I'm glad he's with the 49ers. And I'm glad he's getting a little rebirth, a new chapter in his quarterback life. But I do think he'll be challenging in our secondary, so 320-plus passing yards for Mr. Mac Jones.
Also, if that's true, Laquan, DeMarcus Robinson probably had a big game. I don't know who else. MVS.
CMC put up 150 receiving yards.
Yes, that's probably actually what happened. That's a good point. Yeah, good gracious.
Yeah, man, but hopefully that does not happen. But this has been great, man. I always love getting up on here and talk ball with you, man. And, like, these game previews are always fun. And hopefully the Fantasy Streets are listening. We're helping them with their rosters week in and week out. I appreciate you guys rocking with us. But episode 18, bro, we are flying. We are already a month under with football just behind us. Like, it's incredible that we're in week 5 right now. But, folks, make sure you guys are liking and subscribing. Going to ftnfantasy.com. Sign up, man. It's free to get our newsletter to see what we offer each and every single week. We have great tools on the waiver wire tool. We have the great tools, the wide receiver versus corner tool matchup. And I love that tool so much because, man, you really get the edge on your league mates. So, make sure you guys check us out next week for another great episode of the FTN Fantasy Show. Peace.